You have your Bibles, turn with me please over to Ephesians 6. Follow along please as I read beginning at verse 10. Ephesians 6 and 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Let's pray. Father, quiet here in this place, and through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help us to see clearly what you have written here and what you would want to say to us. There is a warning here. There is provision here. This passage speaks to a need. I need to be aware what's going on around me. You have provided for me, for us. So, Father, open up our hearts and our minds to see what is written, that you might speak to our hearts today. Encourage, challenge, as we need, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. As we begin this final section in the book of Ephesians, it's clear that you and I are still involved in a battle. It is a battle that requires armor. But as we begin, I think it's important for me to remind you that while the war has been won, battles still rage on. Our nation fought a war in the middle of the 19th century that literally tore us apart. But eventually, the war came to an end. And our nation was reunited. But the battles didn't stop there, did they? There are battles going on today over racism, racial injustice, unity and harmony within our nation. But the Civil War is over. So it is in the spiritual realm. The war is over. You and I didn't even participate. The God of the universe looked at his sinful and fallen world and saw them fighting, struggling with the forces of evil, saturated with sin, and said, there's only one way out. A final, sinless, perfect sacrifice. And that was made on the cross there that day when Jesus died. The war was won and done. But battles continue. So as we begin this section, just the verses we're looking at this morning, there are two commands, and it starts here in verses 10 and 11, put on the full armor of God. Now, this is not going to surprise some of you. You're familiar with this passage, and you're familiar with its background. But for others of you, you might ask, armor to protect what? A battle going on where? How? Well, there is a battle going on. He says we must be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. We must, verse 11, put on the full armor of God, that so that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. What battle is going on here? What's the concern? Well, again, the war has been won. So this is not about how we earn our salvation. That's been taken care of. For some, there may still be the battle. Oh, I know your testimony, so, but we know people for whom the battle is still that choice. They're going through the struggle of their sinfulness and the eternal judgment of their sinfulness. And Satan is doing everything possible to keep them from coming to the foot of the cross and claiming the salvation that God, by grace through faith, offers to them. That battle's going on. But for the rest of us, for every one of us, there is that battle for the choices that we make every day. It's not about our salvation. It's about our usefulness, our service, our testimony. Clearly, from this passage, just these four verses that we read this morning, I have to come to the conclusion that this battle is one I can't handle on my own. If I'm to know victory over the sinful advances in my life, I'm not going to be able to do it on my own. But victory is expected because I can only stand strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. So victory is expected. Preparation is essential. How am I to respond? Verse 11, put on the full armor of God. So he's going to provide me with all the protection I need to make the right choices to handle the battles as they come, as Satan attacks me, tempts me, challenges me to make wrong choices. The opportunity, the option, the direction, the command, put on the full armor of God. Now, we have seen in our study of the Apostle Paul as he writes, he uses different Greek tenses. Regularly, what he tells us, whatever it is he's telling us, it's something that he says you got to keep doing. You got to do it over and over again. It's something that it's a choice you continually make. While we could do that here, it is not what he's commanding. He's saying, put on, once and for all, do this. Put on the full armor of God. Maybe you've seen a movie or a TV show where the president is sitting in the Oval Office behind his desk, or maybe he's standing there chatting. all of a sudden, without introduction, doors fly open, Secret Service agents come in, one or two charged with protecting the room, but one in particular is carrying a vest. No one asks, Mr. President, would you like to put this on? No, that Secret Service agent is charged with putting it on. No questions asked. Doesn't care who's playing the president for this show. Because something is about to happen where there is a concern. Doesn't happen every day, doesn't happen often, but it has happened. That's not what we're talking about here. You're anticipating a challenge in your life, an especially busy week. You know there's going to be trouble coming. And so you're going to put on the full armor of God. That's not what we're talking about. All of a sudden, you're aware of pending danger spiritually. Better put on the armor of God. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about here is more like those situations where as soon as you get off that transport, there's somebody standing at the door, or there's somebody over the loudspeaker saying, okay, everybody, put on your flak jacket. Nobody gets off this plane without a flak jacket. And then, nobody leaves, nobody takes this flak jacket off until you leave country. You are in a war zone. There will be no safe place for you until you leave. Put it on. Don't take it off. That's what we're talking about. From the time you stood at the foot of the cross and asked forgiveness for your sin, you were washed clean. Your sins were forgiven. Your security was eternal. But from that day on, you will face an enemy daily who would take not your salvation. He can't do that. The war's been won. But he can take your testimony. He can take your usefulness, he can take your service, and he will take it in a heartbeat. So put on the armor of God. Most of us don't understand that right away. Most of us come to realizing the truth of Ephesians 6 later. But once we do, once someone hands us that armor, we understand, yes, indeed, we are still in battle. And I haven't handled it well, but here's how I can do it well. Here's how I can have victory. Here is how I need to prepare. Put it on. Leave it on, because we are continually in battle. Put on the full armor of God, verse 11, so that you will be able to stand firm. Again, a military term. Remember, I haven't mentioned this for a while. Paul is writing the book of Ephesians from a Roman prison. Not a Roman hotel. Not a B&B. Prison. He is either in the immediate company of or chained to two Roman soldiers. just by virtue of being Roman soldiers. They have their armor on. So he's looking at them. He's picturing what he's about to share with us. We'll be looking at him 2 weeks yet. But he says, to do this so that you will stand firm. It's the Greek way of referring to holding a critical position. We've gotten this far. We've secured this ground. Now, keep it. Hold it. Make sure it stays safe. Protect it. So stand firm. You're in a critical position against the schemes of the devil. That word schemes is the word that we would normally understand to mean methods. In fact, that's the Greek word, method. So we've got our English word. So the methods of the devil, which tells us immediately who our enemy is, and that he has a plan. And it's a desperate plan. Satan is not as smart as God. He's not as smart as Jesus. Don't confuse that, please. The opposite of Jesus is not Satan. The opposite of Satan would be Michael or Gabriel. Angels. The opposite of Satan is not Jesus, it's not God. Satan is a created being. He's a whole lot smarter than you and me. He's not as smart as God. Now, if you and I know the rest of the story, and you and I know what's ahead for him, he knows that too. So he's in a battle. The war has been lost on his behalf, but he's winning battles all of the time. He's talking. He's talking people, humanly speaking, he's talking people out of salvation all the time. And he's talking God's people all of the time out of the armor and into really bad choices. He's talking pastors out of ministry. He's talking husbands out of marriages. He's talking people into really poor choices. Sinfulness. Because his time is short. It's set. And he knows what his end will be. And he will take as many with him. He will disgrace as many as possible. And he has the schemes, the methods to do that. And please remember, whether we're going up against Satan personally or any one of his minions, they are all smarter and stronger than we are. Unless we have all the armor of God. John will tell us later in 1 John, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So while I'm feuding against any one of Satan's demons, the one within me is stronger than them all. So I need this armor if I'm going to stand against the schemes, the methods of Satan and those who follow him. So put on the full armor of God. And as we have suggested, verse 12 now, know your enemy. Verse 13. verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. That word struggle, again, a military term. It's the term or the phrase for hand-to-hand combat. Close quarter, personal. This gets tough. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. What we can see, you know, what we think we can handle, what we might try to size ourselves up against. It's also the Greek word for wrestling. So, thinking in terms of who my opponent is and how can I move and outmove him, defeat him. It even includes the idea of trickery. We say that struggle, that kind of intimate face-to-face, hand-to-hand, hand-to-hand combat, it's not against flesh and blood. That's not where the big battle is. But it's against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And what Paul has taken a lot of time to say is he's describing for us the strata, the rankings of Satan's evil empire. So when he's talking about rulers, he's not talking about specific presidents or rulers of different countries or things like that. Although God has throughout history empowered wicked men to lead nations in all sorts of despicable ways. But what he's describing for us is the satanic power that is out there working against you and me. So while the war has been won at the cross, battles are still being fought because these forces who rob us of our joy, our testimony, our contentment, anything that keeps us from being truly effective for God. These are powerful forces. They are supernatural forces. They are demonic forces. They are forces that are greater than we are. That's why we must put on the full armor of God. And hearkening back to Ephesians 5, it is why we must be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit within us controlling us. The armor, especially designed to protect us, will give us victory over forces that are greater than we are personally. Therefore, verse 13, take up the full armor of God. How many times has he said that? All of it. And we're going to look at all of it in the next couple of weeks. Take up the full armor of God. Everything he has offered to you to protect you. So that you'll be able to resist in the evil day. When those temptations come. When those options to make wrong choices rather than right choices, to reflect sinfulness rather than righteousness, you'll be able to resist that. not in your own strength, but in the power of the Holy Spirit and the full armor of God. And having done everything you were commanded to do, filled with the Holy Spirit, wearing the full armor of God, to what? To stand. In the book of Ephesians, we have been told that we are one with Christ. His life is our life. His power is our power. His truth is our truth. His way is our way. If we are going to stand firm, it is going to be in His strength. And with all that He has promised to provide for us. Don't make the mistake of thinking that just because the war is over, there are no battles to be fought or won. Don't make the mistake of thinking you've been at this long enough, you're strong enough, in and of your own, to handle anything and everything that comes. Neither is true. Be filled with the Spirit and put on the full armor of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truthfulness. I pray, Father, that we handled it accurately and in a way that you can use to challenge and encourage us as we study the armor and see what it is that you have provided for us. May we be impressed, one, with your provision and your love for us, and then the seriousness of the battle that you've called each of us to be a part of. None of us gets to stay home from this one. None of us gets to stay behind while a family member goes. No, we are all called to this battle. We will all do battle. You've provided for us so that we can win these battles and be successful. And as Paul says, stand firm. Thank you. In Jesus' name.